Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I'm Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket event leading up to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Bass or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Nation button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. We also encourage you to visit our YouTube page at Bassmaster Radio for video versions of interviews with select guests. That's YouTube.com/Bassmaster Radio. So how do the elites handle a few weeks off the tour? Well, if you're Jamie Hartman, you go fishing, guiding to be more precise, on his home waters of Oneida Lake, the site of the next St. Croix Bassmaster Open. Now, Oneida has been an ATM machine for the New York native, but this time he's not fishing the Open, just guiding up there for a month before the elites move on to the St. Lawrence River in mid-July. Jamie will join us later to set up the Open and discuss the Northern Swing. Now, the final two Strike King Bassmaster College Series events are in the books, and the field is set for the National Championship coming up on Winya Bay in early September. Bassmaster's Kyle Jesse has been at all of the events, and he will discuss how the season went and just how good these guys are. How about a little technique of the week with Rapala Pro Carl Jacobson? Carl is becoming a certified Tennessee River rat now that he lives on Chickamauga, and he loves an elite off roll. How about a little technique of the week with Rapala Pro Carl Jacobson? Carl is becoming a certified Tennessee River rat now that he lives on Chickamauga.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Now, welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and what a great way to get things started with our favorite Australian, Carl Jacobson. He's the best Australian on the Bassmaster Elite Tour, which he's the only, but he would be the best even if there were others that were on it. And he joins us now for a few minutes. Of course, Rapala Pro as well. Carl, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
Thanks, mate. Good to be here. Yeah, we can just say I'm the best Australian. We don't need to say, well, I'm the only. We can leave that bit out.
You know, it's funny when you say that. I hear you say, mate, I was thinking about you. I'm reading Steve Williams' book, The Caddy. You know, I finally got, he's a Kiwi, but I finally got around to reading his book. And in his book, he reads like he talks, and there's a lot of mate in there and a lot of that a lot of that down under talk, you know, that is charming. Yep. And I thought, I said, this sounds like I'm reading a book by Carl Jacobson. So when's your book coming out, man? You got to get a book about your journey to the Elite Tour.
I know it'll be a cool book. It'll definitely be coming out one day. I'm still writing it.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. And I hear that little baby in the background, and you have a new, what would that be? Is it not a niece? I'm trying to figure out, what is Brandon's child, Brandon and Tiffany's child, to you? It's like niece.
Yeah. Second cousin. I think Kayla would be
cousins.
Brandon is Kayla's cousin, so their daughter would be Kayla's second cousin.
There you go. There you go.
What would Rivers trying to tell us?
The babies would be third cousins. Yeah, right. The babies would be, I guess the babies would be
third cousins. Yeah.
So that'd be good stuff. All right, let's talk a little bit. It has been an interesting season for you. You have kind of pulled it out of an early season tailspin. Florida was not your friend, but boy, you came out of there strong. 33rd at Santee Cooper, and then 7th on your home lake now at Chick. And you've been in the top 35 the last couple of tournaments as well. So just first talk about coming out of that early tough start.
That's just what fishing's all about, really what my career's been about. But I've always just struggled with that consistency, just because, I'm still really only 10 years in, I guess. Mm. And, that first half was, you hardly can count it, just because of how slow the learning curve was, coming to all these lakes, different times of year. But I'm really, just starting to get a really good all-round, well-rounded experience on a lot of these lakes at a lot of different times a year. And, it's just a slow progress and things are starting to come together. But Florida, you can just never count on that. Like, I've started to make some checks and have some really good finishes in Florida over the past couple of years. But that doesn't mean anything. Like, It's just such a savage place as far as tournaments go, where you can smash them. I've found amazing areas, caught a bunch of fish, and if you don't catch that one big one each day, it's what happened to me. I had four great days of fishing, caught a bunch of fish, never got a big bite, and had two 70th place finishes back to back. And I fell a little bit in the trap of doing my own thing, which I tend to always lean towards in Florida. But I've learned, when it's going to go down in an area and I find it myself, I got to get in there. But two of those areas at St. John's and especially Harris Chain, I found them, figured them out, got the bites, knew there was going to be a bunch of boats in there, but got on a different area in Griffin, decided to go with it, and then you're out there on your own, and they're all smashing them. There's 30 boats, and every boat gets paid in a certain area, and you're like, you just live and you learn consistently. But, my biggest thing is you don't let those tournaments dictate the next one, and I came out and on Santee and had a 30th or a 31st, got a check, and then kept the momentum rolling from there. And I've actually never had this kind of momentum where I've gotten four checks in a row, I've never done it in my 10 years here.
Yeah, and it's now put you above the cut line for the Classic. You want to hold on to that, obviously, going into the Northern Swing coming up. But I want to talk a little technique of the week with you. At Pickwick, obviously everybody was stacked up on the ledge. Brandon Lesser went and found a little ledge in shallower water. Yep. But one of the things that you become a master with is that deep crankbait, that DT series crankbait made by Rapala. They are one of our sponsors as well. We love the Rapala deep diving crankbaits, and whether you start with the 6 and then go to the 8 now, which is new, 10, all the way down to the 22 with the weighted lip and so on. But just talk a little bit about how you play that when you find those fish on a ledge like that, and how you like to set it up and what you're looking to do.
Yeah, the thing, what I tell people with the DT series, what makes it so good is, like, literally it is a crankbait that you can have every different size in it and then literally fish it year round. That's what makes it so special. It's not just a summertime bait or just a wintertime bait. It gets bites in fired up schools. It gets bites in pressured tough schools because of its subtle action. And then it gets bit right through winter, pre-spawn, then post-spawn fish. And you can literally just go from the DT4 and just keep continuing up as you come through. Like, it's just the perfect progression until you get to the DT20 through these summits and 16 through these summertime schools. And that's what I've been able to do. The DT8 has been obviously one of the best additions to the whole range. It's brand new, this year, late last year, came out, and just you sort of went from the DT6, which was a smaller body size, to a DT10, which had a much bigger size. It was almost double the size of the 6, and you sort of missed that gap. So they filled that gap by giving you a DT6 size, which everyone loves, but being able to get it down that little bit deeper just sort of replaces so many other crankbaits with that bait. But yeah, the DT16 and 20 played on Pickwick, saved, deep cranking saved me on day two late with Brandon. And Brandon's given me a lot of confidence, and Gerald Swindle in the DT range, just teaching me a lot with how they've run it, just because they've mastered it over so long. But I've had giant sessions back in the, on Lanier in winter on the DT10. I caught back-to-back 5-pound spots on the DT10. Wow. It's been that's in the tournament. Like, it's been an incredible bait for me, and you know, the Aussies are getting into cranking back home in Australia, so I've been, you know, working with them and talking to them, and it's been cool to see the DT range really taking off in Australia as well, because deep cranking is starting to take off.
If you want to get that DT Metal 20 all the way down as deep as you can get it, what do you do line wise? How light will you go line wise?
Yeah, so the main two factors are going to be the length of your rod, and also, and then line size. They're going to be your main two. So really, you just go as light as you possibly think you can get away with if you want to run it deep. You know, 10 pound is generally about as light as I'll go on a DT20. But, you know, on some of the, like, real big crankbaits and deep, we'll run 12 on them. So there's nothing to say you can't run 8 to 10 on a DT20 or 16.
Making me nervous. Like, you're making me nervous just saying that. I'm thinking that thing's going to snap off just, you know, from the pressure it puts on the lure.
You've got to concentrate on the cast, but when you've got straight fluorocarbon out that long and you're using a stretchy fluorocarbon, it's very hard to break 10 pounds on a very long cast like that. So, you know, it's all about distance, and your rod length is going to make a huge difference. I'm using 8 foot and an 8'6" rod cranking sometimes.
Okay.
And the distance that you get from a rod like that is incredible. So, further you cast and the lighter the line is, the deeper that crank's going to go.
There you go. With Carl Jacobson giving us a little bit of intel on the DT deep diving series of baits from Rapala. Carl, good luck on a Northern Swing. I know you're gonna do a great job up there, secure that spot in the Classic, and we'll look forward to chatting again.
Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Carl Jacobson. That guy is great, man. He is just tremendous. All right, let's get a break in here. When we come back, more. Kyle Jesse is up next, talking college series on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Yeah, welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And, you know, instead of talking to the teams that picked up wins in the last couple of college events, the final regular season event and the wildcard event, I thought, you know what, let's talk to Kyle Jesse from Bassmaster, because he knows everything there is to know about the college series. I mean, even more than Ronnie Moore, who fished college in college fishing as well. But I figured that, Kyle, no pressure on you, Kyle Jesse, but I understand that you are the ultimate authority on all things Strike King Bassmaster College Series. Is that, am I overstating that a little bit?
Maybe just a tad, but I do go to all the college events, and I've been to every single one this year, so I definitely love the college series, but I don't know that I'm the ultimate authority on college fishing, that's for sure.
Okay, not the ultimate authority then. And just as a primer for our listeners, four regular season events. There was one at Harris Chain, Lake Norman, Norfolk Lake, and the one that just recently at the Saginaw Bay. And then a wild card event, which was at Logan Martin Lake. And that's how guys will qualify for the championship. And the Strike King Bassmaster College Series National Championship, presented by Bass Pro Shops, will be at Winya Bay September 2nd through the 4th. So this was a well-stretched-out regular season, starting in January, going through the Saginaw Bay tournament in June, and then the wild card event, which was the week after. And man, we saw the cream rise to the top. It just seems like every year these teams get stronger and stronger, Kyle.
That is 100% true. I know that gets maybe a little cliche when we say that every year, but it's honestly true. I mean, the competition on the Strike Team Bassmaster College Series is just unbelievable. And, you know, the more and more, you know, potential that we see out of the college series ends up being on the Elite Series, and it continues to happen. You know, it happened with several anglers that made the Elite Series this last year, and I would expect more of the same moving forward.
Well, how about at Pickwick? I mean, you know, at Pickwick we had guys all over the top 10 that were, you know, that were guys that came out of the college series just recently. I mean, it was amazing to see Jacob Fouts out of Bryant College and you know, some of the other guys that we saw that were right there, and these guys just came off the college series.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the same time frame that I actually fished in college, so I got to see that firsthand. And got to receive plenty of those butt whoopings from those guys in college. But that's a perfect example. I mean, you talk about two guys that just removed from the college series, I mean, 2 years ago, maybe at most.
Yeah.
You know, making a real statement in a offshore, you know, event where, you know, both those guys had a lot of Tennessee River experience. And it was really cool to see both Cody Huff and Jacob Fouts have their more or less coming out party, especially Cody Huff with you know, his first top 10 of the season.
And you look at John Garrett, a guy who missed making the elites, I think, by 1 point last year. I fished with John in an open. I fished with John Garrett, and this kid can fish. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's struggling this year, and he's a really, really good fisherman, a guy that made the Classic through the bracket a few years ago. And it just goes to show how competitive it is out there that, you know, I think he'll make it at some particular point in time. He's going to have a hard time making it this year, but it just shows you the quality of fishermen that are out there.
Oh, no question. And like you said, to echo what you just mentioned, I think it's just a matter of time with John Garrett. I mean, you know, he's one of those guys that you definitely would throw in the same boat of extremely, extremely talented anglers that have come from the college series. And, you know, the more, like I said, that these guys have success in the college series, I think the more you'll see those same guys have success in the opens and eventually qualify for the Elite Series.
You know, and then there's Logan Parks and Tucker Smith. You know, we're going to be hearing from these guys for many, many years to come. I mean, they just seem to be there everywhere. And look at the swag that they gained, you know, by winning the Bass Pro Shops Open Tournament last year, where they won $500,000 each, plus a truck and a boat and all that other kind of stuff. And they had another great season fishing for Auburn. They were in the wild card event, but you could fish the wild card event even if you were already qualified for the national championship, right? You could still fish in the wild card event, and then if you finished in the top 10%, they would just keep going down the list to qualify more teams. Is that how it works?
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, you take like Logan Parks and Tucker Smith, for example, like you mentioned, both of them being in Alabama, especially Tucker living here in Birmingham when he's not at school. It just makes sense to go fish the tournament, more experience, you know, more exposure, things of that nature. And if they ended up in the top 10% ultimately, you know, it would work down. So it's not harming anybody. They're all more than welcome to fish it. But the event, for the most part, is for guys that haven't qualified yet, because that's who it's going to benefit the most.
Yeah, Kyle Jesse with us here talking about the college series and where this thing is going to be going to Winya Bay for the national championship the first weekend of September. But to help get there, Saginaw Bay, how cool was that out of Bay City, Michigan? I don't know if you had been there up there. I have not been up there before, and I'm from the north, but I'm from upstate New York area. But Brian Linder, Nathan Thompson out of Minnesota State in Mankato get the victory there. And that was some pretty impressive smallmouth being caught up there.
Absolutely. Saginaw Bay and Bay City area is really a crazy cool place. I've been up there the last 2 years, last year obviously being the first year that I guess really any bass event had been up there, and I was thoroughly impressed, not just with the fishery, because the fishery is fantastic. Obviously, you can make the run to Lake Huron, and the smallmouth fishing is outstanding, like you mentioned, but one of the crazier facts is fishing in the river there at Saginaw, the largemouth fishing. The first year we went there, you hear guys, you know, reporting days of 60 to 120 fish a day, and more of the same this year, just catching all sorts of, you know, quality largemouth. But it was interesting to see the last 2 years, you know, the guys that went and smallmouth fish versus the guys that stayed and largemouth fish, because obviously the better quality at large was smallmouth fishing, but both years we've had guys qualify with nearly 20 pounds a day largemouth fishing. So, I mean, that really speaks volumes to how good that place is. And I definitely hope from a personal standpoint we have more events there.
I find it fascinating that, I mean, you had three Auburn teams in the top 15, a Tennessee team, East Texas Baptist University team. You had Montevallo, had a team in fourth place there. Bryan College in Tennessee, they had a team there that came in fifth place there. You would think that this would have been all dominated by some of the northern schools. Yes, the guys from Minnesota State win that tournament, but I'm trying to figure out how some of these guys from some of the southern colleges, you know, how fast they can adapt to that kind of fishery, which is unusual for what they've been fishing their whole life.
No, absolutely. And that just, you know, speaks volumes to what we mentioned earlier with how well-rounded some of these young anglers are. I mean, like you said, so many southern schools mixed in the top 20 there. And it just speaks volumes to how impressively talented these young guys are. And you know, you think about how much of an advantage it is for these guys that want to move on and fish the open, fish the nation, fish, you know, higher level events, how much of an advantage it is for them to have already fished some of these northern fisheries, you know, last year going to the St. Lawrence River as well for the championship, getting experience on these smallmouth fisheries where, you know, if they weren't fishing the college series, they might not even have that opportunity. So I think that gives a lot of these guys a huge advantage moving forward. But no, I mean, these college kids are extremely well-rounded. It seems like, you know, you throw a curveball in the schedule like a Saginaw Bay even last year when none of them had really seen it other than maybe some of the northern schools. And it was a lot of the same. A lot of the southern schools were able to do super well there last year. Logan Parks and Tucker Smith obviously won the event and then also had a very, very good event there this year as well.
Yeah, 42-11 for them. The winning weight, 44-3. And I'm no math major, but that's 4.5 pounds of fish per fish. I mean, that's amazing. The top four teams all over 40 pounds. And that's really impressive, especially when you look at it against the spotted bass deal in the wild card, which was, at Logan Martin. And it's, the weights were half of that. But, man, I mean, when you think about it, you got to be over 4 pounds per fish. Up at Saginaw Bay, that's pretty impressive. That's eye-opening.
Absolutely. And we were on the water on day two covering Logan Parks and Tucker Smith, of course, being the day one leaders. And some of those fish they were targeting were spawning fish, and it was just incredible to see the numbers of fish you could see, up there spawning, and big, you know, big fish. Obviously, a lot of the big-time smallmouth bodies of water that we go to in the Elite Series and the Open, they get a lot of recognition, but I fully expect within the next few years that Saginaw Bay and that area of Huron is definitely going to get more and more, recognition for how good of a fishery it really is.
I don't know if Mark Zona would like that or not like that, you know,
right.
having the guys come up to his an area that he has done so well in over the years. Right, finally, Lucas Smith and Dalton Mize out of Jacksonville State, couple of Gamecocks winning the wild card event. Were they qualified already for the national championship, or was this it? Did this put them in the national championship?
They were not. So they were one of the few teams, it seemed like few teams, in the top 10 that actually were not qualified originally. Obviously, it works down the list for every team that's qualified inside the top 10. It just works down another spot. But Dalton Mize, and Lucas Smith were not qualified yet. They weren't able to fish a couple of the college tournaments this year due to some boat issues and things of that nature. But preseason, we actually had that duo on our prospects list, and they were one of the few teams that hadn't qualified yet. So it was definitely good to see them have a good event. And Lucas Smith, you know, 2 years ago fished with Zeke Gossett, also, you know, at Jacksonville State, and they won Team of the Year. So it was a little surprising to see they had not qualified yet, but definitely knocked it out of the park there at Logan Martin, just, you know, 45 minutes from their campus.
Well, we'll catch up with you before Winya Bay and the national championship in September. Kyle Jesse has been our guest. You find him all over Bassmaster.com, doing podcasts, taking pictures, doing whatever they ask him to do. He does a great job doing it. Kyle, I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you having me on, Tom.
All right, we got a break in here. When we come back, Jamie the Hammer Hartman is going to join us to scout out Oneida for us, where he's actually guiding this month and next month, and he'll give us the lowdown on that.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio. Now, a chance to talk to a guy. Well, look, he's been an ATM machine on Oneida Lake. And, of course, coming up, it'll be the the St. Croix Bassmaster Open on Oneida Lake. And that is just around the corner. So I figured we got to talk to Jamie Hartman. Now, I can guarantee you one thing about July. Jamie Hartman is going to make money at Oneida Lake. He's not fishing in the open, though, but he's going to make money because he's guiding, basically booked every day this month, and he joins us now. Jamie, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
I am fantastic, and this is an interesting way to make sure that you make a check. Just guide over there, right, on a lake that you know like the back of your hand.
Yeah, I've been up here for going on 2 weeks now, and I've booked every single day through June, July, and into August, so except for tournament time, but it's a positive income for me. I can help a buddy out trying to go up through the opens at the same time, which I've done before. And I just decided not to sign for the open. I would have been placed on the waiting list anyways, but I usually do fish it, but I made a choice not to, and that's fine with me. I got, like you said, positive income.
Yeah, and of course, right around the corner is the St. Lawrence, so you're up there not too far from that, and you'll be able to dip in there here in the not-too-distant future. Talk to me about how Oneida is fishing right now. Is it typical? Is it a little bit different? I mean, the tournament's coming up July 9th through the – or 7th through the 9th, but what's it looking like right now?
It's right now it's a little tough. It's been – since I've been here, it's been just a little tough. The grass hasn't grown up good. You don't have the milfoil. You got a lot of string grass growing around. The shoreline looks good. You don't have the moss. Like, you get a real slimy moss on the bottom. If it gets too hot too quick, that has not happened yet. Hopefully it won't this year. And other than that, I mean, the fish are big. They're plump. They're healthy, the ones you're catching. And I'd say by the open, it's going to be on fire.
And folks, I know a lot of folks around the South, you know, you're thinking about this as we're well into post-spawn now, but, you know, I remember my days growing up in Western New York and fishing Cayuga Lake and so on, you know, the season would always open basically right about now. It would be this third Saturday in June when the season would open, and there'd still be bass on the spawn. I mean, what are you finding now? I mean, are these fish all post-spawn, or are there still fish on bed?
Yeah, I mean, their season opened up last Wednesday. It is post-spawn. Oneida Lake warms up quick, so you don't get that prolonged spawn. It pretty well happens. I mean, when you get a warm-up in sometime in May, and it's over quick. So they get post-spawn, and other lakes around, like Cayuga, you mentioned, that they're still spawning over at Cayuga.
Yeah.
The New York State record was just broke last week.
Really?
So, yeah, they had an 8.5 pound. It was 8.5 something, 5.2, I think it was, smallmouth. So the record was just recently broke last week.
Wow, that's tremendous. Of course, Cayuga Lake is a place where Jamie Hartman had one of his great memories, a win on the Elite Tour there. Now, this lake, of course, at Oneida, there's a blend, obviously, of largemouth and smallmouth. Is this strictly a largemouth deal, do you think, coming up, or is this going to be something where it's going to be a mixed bag?
It'll be a mixed bag. It's usually a mixed bag. The smallmouth are big enough to do it now. It's just having the consistency over the 3 days of the smallmouth.
Right.
That's the thing there. Usually you mix in a couple largemouth throughout the event, and you're good to go. But it can be done now with strictly smallmouth.
Now, you mentioned that you're guiding there on Oneida Lake. That's your home lake. That's the area you basically cut your teeth in, even though you live in Arkansas during most of the season. But you're up there now with the Northern Swing happening on the Elites and a chance to guide at Oneida. How many guys are you taking out that are guys that are going to be fishing that tournament, though? I mean, is that kind of a regular thing, or do you regulate that yourself as far as guys who will be fishing that open that want to take and go out with Jamie Hartman?
Yeah, I do regulate it.
Yeah.
I definitely do. I ask questions when it gets closer to that. What their objective is. I did have to turn a couple down or move them to a different lake. But I got one fella I'm helping out, that's all. And I don't want to give out a whole bunch of stuff, so I'll help him. He's looking to get in, and that's it, though. I'm not going to spread the word, per se, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because I've talked to other guys, elites, that guide as well when they have an opportunity to, but they'll only guide out-of-state people because they don't want to have guys jumping spots and things like that, and so they'll take people in that come from out of state, but they don't necessarily want to take guys out that live down the street, and then they got to compete with them down the road, or they got to worry about them jumping their spots when they're out guiding for other clients.
Yeah, that's right. I'm pretty forward with the guys, and you know, I always say I can lead a horse to water, but I can't make them drink.
Yeah.
So even though I take them around, and maybe they don't know we're fishing one of the hot spots, but they're catching fish, and I don't say much to them about it, but I mean, they can come back and not be able to catch them. You know, it's a lot of the stuff on a night is pretty specific. So if you don't know how to play the wind, line up on them, you know, all bait selection, it's just, it's, I don't know. I mean, you got to kind of know what you're doing to be consistent on that lake. So it doesn't scare me to, and I'm not up here no more like that.
It's true.
So like, you got to take the good with the bad, I guess. And, you know, I'm charging premium dollar. I do a lot of teaching, a lot of electronics, tournament techniques, all that kind of stuff. And then just some fun trips. So I like it.
Yeah. Bass Pro Shops Pro Jamie Hartman, our guest here, talking about Oneida Lake. Give me a number that you think it'll take on a 3-day deal for the winter. What is this? Is this, how close to 60 pounds would it be? What do you think?
I'm going to drop right about 58.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's going to be right around 58. Somebody's going to get on them, like, you know, consistently. If the grass comes up, it'll be consistent. If it doesn't, that number will drop.
Yeah.
So the milfoil has to grow relatively quick.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
And it does. It does on that lake. So if the milfoil comes up and it's flush, it'll be right there at 58.
Let's talk about your season so far. I mean, you're sitting in 32nd place in the Angler of the Year standing, so you're above the cut line right now for the Classic. You were in better shape, obviously, before Pickwick. It was a tough one for you at Pickwick. Started out the season ablaze. I mean, you know, a couple of top 20 finishes at in Florida in both of those events down there, middle of the pack in the other events, and then kind of a stinker for you at Pickwick. But talk about how your feelings are, because the last time you went out of Clayton, I think you were top 30 when you went out of Clayton last time, but last year going out of Waddington, you struggled up there at the St. Lawrence. Everybody assumes that you should be all over this because you're a New York guy. But just talk about your thought process going forward and where you're at right now being above that cut line.
Yeah, that Pickwick tournament definitely crushed me, absolutely crushed me. I had the bad feeling. I put it out of my head and I fished, but man, I don't like that ledge deal on that small river. You know, I threw 57 gallons of gas that first day, and I had six left at the end of the day, and just struggling to try to get onto a spot that didn't have another angler or two anglers on it. So it's not pretty, man, when it's like that. Guys are rub rail to rub rail, just. There's selective spots that you can catch them because that's where the schools of fish are. And I wasn't fortunate enough to slide in with anybody. And it paid off like that. I had a feeling it would. But anyways, we're going to look forward to it and move on to, you know, Clayton this year. That's an open book. That place now being close to Clayton, you have the lake and the river in play. So, with that being said, it's a huge playing field, and the fish are abundant from one end of it to the other. So do I have an advantage? Absolutely not. It is a place that you can go find them and catch them, and they're big. So I mean we've been there so many times. I think the last 22 years in a row we've been there. It feels like it, but,
yeah.
No, but everybody's got a lot of experience with it now, so it's an even playing field. Like I said, it's a fun place to fish, and when you get on them, it's a blast.
You know,
last year,
yeah,
I didn't have anything going right for me last year. Nothing from start to finish, so that I washed it out. I had a good practice up there, and just I did everything I could to try to catch fish. Just couldn't get big fish, and in practice, it was great, but I had one of those horrible years last year, worst in my career ever. So I'm putting it all behind me and just rolling forward.
Yeah, and you are in decent shape. You know, it's interesting what you just said about Pickwick and that ledge, because you also have a win at Gunnersville, and that was technically on a ledge. It's a different kind of ledge. I mean, you were on a ledge that had grass that came right up to the surface, and you had that famous bite that you had in the morning on top water that was just a little sweet spot that you had found. But people think that because it's the Tennessee River and because it's a ledge that it's the same as Gunnersville, and really it isn't, right? I mean, Pickwick is a lot different deal. And a lot fewer spots, it almost seems like, than at Gunnersville.
110%. You have options at Gunnersville. You have grass. You have eelgrass. You have lots and lots and lots of river to run. The fish do scatter out because of the grass. So you have lots of options. I opted for options at Pickwick. I never found a stalk of grass in that place.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I don't want to do this ledge thing. I feel like, a guy has a little sneaky one or two spots, like a few of them guys did, that they have experience on it, lots of experience. So that pays off. But, I mean, hats off to the guys that were able to basically pair up and sit rub rail to rub rail and catch fish. But
yeah.
That was not my deal, and it just didn't work out. I tried to scrape what I could scrape. I tried to stay in good shape. That was my goal, but we took a spill. But
yeah,
we'll get it back. We'll get it back.
How do you feel about La Crosse and Owyhee? I don't know. Did you fish the Owyhee tournament a few years ago when they went out there?
I did not. That was the first tournament that I was out of because of my back.
Right, when you had the back issue. So you don't
it.
Yeah, so you don't have that experience. Obviously a big smallmouth fishery, and then La Crosse, a lot of grass, it almost feels like fishing Florida. It almost feels like fishing where you started the season, I suppose. But you got a good confidence level going into both of those?
I got confidence going into Owyhee.
Mm-hmm.
I went and looked at it in 2017. After our AOI championship up that way. So I seen it. I spent 3 days on it just looking at it, but I didn't get to fish the event. So I am looking forward to it. But La Crosse, not so much. That's a shallow water deal. It's running around. It's a lot of, unless you find an area that's got them, it's a lot of single spot fishing, figuring it out where, anybody that has experience there has an advantage once again. But I'm going to be looking for an area that's got them. I can put my head down and just grind them out.
There you go. Jamie Hartman, the Hammer, setting up the rest of the season for him. And, of course, guiding out Oneida, giving us a little scouting report on what Oneida looks like for the Open that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Jamie, I appreciate you so much. Have a great swing on a northern swing. And remember, winners come on for the Rapala Winner's Circle. So, maybe we'll have a chance to talk to you before the summer's out.
Just put me on speed dial, brother, and call me back because I want to be there.
I appreciate that. That's Jamie Harbin. What a great guy. He is a tremendous fisherman as well, and he is having a good year this year. All right, we'll get a break in here. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we have the show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. 19-year Bassmaster Elite Series vet Chad Morgenthaler is retiring from the circuit effective immediately. Quote, the plan all along was for this to be my final season. Due to rapidly changing times, I'm starting another new chapter a few months earlier than planned, said Morgenthaler. My desire is to help anglers achieve their goals, and it's back stronger than ever. I will now be able to share the skills, lessons, and experiences gained along my journey. Morgan Thaler, along with help from other talented anglers and friends, is starting the Future Cast Academy, a skills development, coaching, and mentoring and hands-on program designed for anglers of all ages. Classes will be available to benefit anglers hoping to climb the bass fishing ladder or just have fun catching more fish. Now, in his bass career, Morgan Thaler has qualified for 7 Bassmaster Classics, amassed 21 top 10 finishes, and earned 2 victories. Rapala Fantasy Fishing is underway, and you can win great prizes during every elite tournament by going to Bassmaster.com and clicking on the fantasy page to register your team. There are individual prize packages each week and a grand prize for the season-long winner that includes over $20,000 in prizes, plus a fishing trip with Davey Height. You can also play Mercury's Drain the Lake game as well, an eliminator game explained at the site, with weekly prizes and a grand prize that includes a fishing trip with Mark Zona in Michigan. Go to Bassmaster.com/fantasy to get signed up today. And check out ProFishing.shop for our exclusive lifestyle line, #FishOn, to proclaim your love of fishing. And take a look at the Legendary Lake series as well. You can even buy Bassmaster radio gear and a new line of coffee mugs. That's ProFishing.shop. If you're like me, you never stop learning the best bass fishing techniques and tricks. And now we have a place to find it all in one place at Bass University's bassu.tv/radio. You'll find over 900 training courses from the most talented anglers on the planet, including Mike Iaconelli, Greg Hackney, Jason Christie, John Cox, Hank Cherry, and many more. If you want to become a better bass angler, visit bassu.tv/radio and sign up. That's bassu.tv/radio and begin learning today. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at bassmaster.com/radio or hit the nation button and click on Bassmaster Radio.